Thanks, Mike. That focus is exactly where we need to be this morning. Seeing the God that is, and that's going to be part of what we're doing. When I was looking around in my office, as I sometimes do, Lord, where's the next message coming from? Where's the next series going to fall out of? Open up the Bible, go through that. I spent some time just in prayer about it. I then began to read my wall, and I have little sayings and scripture plastered all over my walls for my benefit. Just things that would remind me of stuff I need to know. And the one that jumped out at me is the one that we're having laid before you as our motto now, our goal, our purpose. And that is to make His name glorious. Whenever God's name is allowed to be glorious, meaning the highest there is, it's lifted above everything else in its character, in its definition, in its function. God's name is the ultimate name that we can call out to. He begins to do things in unique and mighty ways in our lives. Here's a verse for that. Blessed is His glorious name forever, and may the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. I watched a video this week that I thought had to be the introduction to where we're going today. Mainly for one reason. It gives a perspective that I need you to have in your mind before we start this message. So if you would, Pat, please start that video. The only thing I would change on that is the last statement. Not, oh man, oh God. Because you realize that's His perspective of all that is. It's not ours. We're finite. We're looking at this little place that we have on the earth where we're sitting. But God is over all of that. He created all of that. Read this on the screen with me. Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created. See, that's heaven's perspective. That's what the angels and the hosts and the I can't even think of what those other guys are, but the people in heaven, that's how they see God from a standpoint of You did all of this. And sometimes we just kind of look at our little situation and think, why on earth would God even be interested in me? I'm not even a fleck of dust compared to all of that. But yet we read our scripture, we feel like that we understand this. We're why He did all of that. He created all of that so that He might grant us the opportunity of knowing Him and knowing who He is. That's a lot of space, a lot of vastness, a lot of that we don't even understand all that's out there. But God has focused His attention right here on this place, this planet, we, these people, to let us understand how great of a God He is. Now let me give you some comparisons of things that might help sort of enlarge that perspective of God. First of all, there's categories of God. God has this category. He is the Creator. We are the created. And we have to keep that perspective in mind. God created and we are the product of that creation. I watched a very interesting show on the History Channel, which you would think would show you things of history that are true and things you can count on being so. And it was about how aliens actually created and populated our planet and made us be who we were. And there was a man on there who said very sharply and distinctly, he said, DNA proves that all of this could not have just happened. He said it's very clear by DNA that you could not have evolution or this development as we believe it is today. Very strongly, I believe this was a designed, intended procedure of getting people on this planet. That's why I believe aliens did it. It's like, oh, come on, man, you were so close, and you had to go there. But he jumped the gap. But he was convinced that we are created in some fashion. But he just wouldn't trace that back to a creator. God is the sustainer of life. We are consumers. We use up all that God has created for us. We take it in. It becomes a part of us. But we are the consumers. God is the creator. He is the beginning and the end. We're somewhere in the middle. We're just kind of right there along the dots of history. He owns the plan. We are included in that plan. We're a portion of it. We're not the plan. We're a portion of it. And then you turn and look at God's abilities. God's abilities, things that we've heard all of our lives. He is omnipresent. Great word that means God is everywhere at the same time. Now, He does that in a way that we can't understand. His Spirit is able to be all places at all times and be able to acknowledge us in that moment. We're so finite, we can only be where we are. But wherever we are, God is there. So if we're here today, which we are, I can tell looking at you, my eyes are that good at least. We're here today, God is here with us. If you were at home, God would be at home with you. If you were on the other side of the globe, God would be with you there. Wherever you are, that's where God is. And beyond that, God is omnipresent. He is at all places. He is omniscient, which means He knows all things. We are only able to know what we've been taught, what we've seen, what we've experienced. We are so limited by our education that we only know what we have been able to experience on this life, this planet during our lifetime. He is omnipotent. Omnipotent, which means He has all power. A God who has all power can accomplish all things as He chooses to do so. Got you a new word. We are micropotent. Micropotent. Made that up for you this week. Micropotent. Which means that our power is microscopic. It is totally invisible when it's placed up against God's omnipotence. When you put it up beside Him, what we have to offer Him is nothing visible to solve the problem. Again, we are finite. He is infinite. He has this full perspective, and we have only that little glimpse that we get at any particular moment. One of my favorite stories, a little boy was playing in his backyard, and he heard things going on over the back fence. Road was there, and this was in the early days, and he went and looked through a knot hole in that fence. And all he could see was what was in that knot hole, but he watched and there went a zebra. He watched again, there went an elephant. Watched again, there went a clown. So he ran into the house and said, "Mom, I don't know what's going on out here, but I'm seeing all these crazy things through my knot hole." So she took him back to the fence and said, "Let me show you what's going on." She lifted him up over so he could see over the fence, and he saw a circus parade coming into town. So his perspective was limited by that knot hole. That's all he could see at any given moment. He had no idea what was going on in the big picture. Well, that's our difference between God and us. God has this whole picture in mind at all times, able to see the beginning and the end, and we're limited to a knot hole. And we're trying to make decisions in our life, and we're trying also to affect things before God in prayer, that all we have is perspective is just that knot hole view. And we think that we have something to tell God. I had originally thought that I would kind of talk about stupid things we say to God, and I was told you can't say stupid in church. So I threw that out. We went a different direction. But there are things that we say to God that in His side would be very funny. Kind of like, "Hey God, this is what I think you ought to do. God, why don't you use my perspective in dealing with this problem rather than yours? All right, God, here's my wisdom. You want to borrow it so that you would know how to handle this particular situation?" It is ridiculous for us to think that we can offer God anything that would help Him accomplish His will. There are two words that are spoken of God describing Him in Scripture that mean a great deal. One is El Elyon. El Elyon means God Most High. We sang about Him this morning. The Holy God, the Holy, 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 the highest God there is. That there's no one higher, and there could never be anyone higher. He has that position locked in by Himself. So when we pray, we are praying to the one who's ultimately in charge. Have you ever had a crisis on the phone and you're talking to somebody, and you say to them, "Hey, give me your supervisor. Bump this on up the ladder because you can't handle my problem. Bump me on up." And you go up until you hopefully find someone in the food chain of that business that can help you solve your problem. Well, we go to the top whenever we pray. We're at the top of all that there is to be able to call out on El Elyon, God Most High. We call out to Him whenever we are praying, focusing our attention on what's going on. The other word is God Almighty. God Almighty, El Shaddai. It basically is that position of authority. Not only does He have the right, because He is the highest that there is of being able to have that position, but also He has the authority to do whatever He chooses to do. And His authority is what gives us the privilege of being able to ask Him for the things that we need Him to do or want Him to do. We know He can. When a man had taken his son to Jesus, young man, the boy had a demon. And that demon would come on him at various times and basically try to destroy the little boy, throw him into the fire or throw him up against rocks. A very destructive situation with this demon. And the man had brought this boy to Jesus' disciples, and they couldn't do anything about it. They just couldn't figure out. We don't know why, but we can't cast this demon out. And then Jesus came up and got into the situation, and the man asked this question. He said, if you can do anything. And Jesus kind of came back with, if I can. Not in a sarcastic way or a self-promotional way or inflated ego way, but it was almost saying, who do you think you're talking to? When we pray before God, who do we think we're talking to? We're asking Him for something. Are we asking Him, wondering if He can do that? Because that comes back on us as being this haunting thing of why doesn't God respond to us? Oh, maybe He can't do it. Well, that becomes really the wrap up in that word El Shaddai, because in that is also this concept of Him being sovereign. Now, sovereign is an interesting word. It can take you into some very tight, kind of a squeezing realm of thought that will almost make everything sort of a whatever happens type will happen, that we have no control, we have no say, that it's all already regimented and planned out, and there's no variation of that. It can kind of push you that direction. But sovereignty basically means God can accomplish His will regardless of what's going on around Him. He can make His will happen in our lives, which backs up to, if He can do it, then that means He is without restrictions to do it if He so chooses. There was an interesting story about how God wanted to challenge these other people, prophets, because of their idolatry. And the people were drawn to idolatry simply because in idolatry, you kind of have some measure of control over your God. You want it to rain. Well, we have to do this ritual to get our God to let it rain. Do you want to have the sunshine? Well, we have to do this ritual to get our God to give us sunshine. Do you want fertility? Well, we have to do these things for our God to be able to give us that. But it was simply in reverse, a way to manipulate that God to get what you wanted. And here's the story. It's in 1 Kings 18, if you want to turn there. 1 Kings 18, verse 26. It talks about Elijah. It said, then they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice of, and no one answered. And they leapt about the altar which they had made, and they cried with a loud voice and cut themselves according to their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out of them. When midday was past, they raved until the time of the evening sacrifice, and there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Have you ever felt that way in prayer? Like you sit down, you kneel down, you lie down, you're prostrate. Wherever you are positioning yourself and you're pouring your heart out to God, God, can you please do this for us? And it's like silence. It seems like God isn't in the room. I've heard that expression, my prayers never get above the ceiling. And I feel like, why isn't God answering my prayer? I watch other people pray and I listen to their prayers and I watch for the results and I actually can see things that God has accomplished because those people prayed. What do they have that I don't have? What are they able to do that I'm not able to do? Because you know, in this story, you've got Elijah coming in right after they get through and he just simply says, God, show him your God. Bring fire down, and God brought fire down and consumed that offering. Now, take it for granted that they weren't praying to the right God. What is it that we might feel like we do wrong? Why does God hear some prayers and respond to them and not others? Well, I kind of went through some thoughts just to kind of put them down here, and it could be we think God likes them better. Have you ever felt that way? Well, God must love them more than me because he's responding to their prayer and I'm not getting anything out of it at all. Or, they're just more spiritual than I am. You know, you got to really be a spiritual person to approach God and ask him to do things. And that's why people come and ask the pastor to pray for them, because they feel inadequate, because they feel like he's up here and they're down here. Baloney. They prayed standing up, perhaps, and we were trying to just sit down and pray, so maybe that's why God. Or maybe God said, what they're asking makes better sense than what you're asking, so I'm going to go with their suggestion of how to handle this rather than yours. Or they're bugging me to death with requests, so I'm going to give in to them and just let them have what they're asking for. Or maybe the third thing, they don't know what they're asking for, so I'm going to just give them that. And let them see that wasn't the best thing to be asking for. Now, God doesn't answer our prayers according to some game that we might be playing with him. How God answers our prayers is based upon one thing and one thing only. I am willing. Jesus ran into a leper, and that leper had a simple request. Here it is. He said in Luke chapter 5, while Jesus was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. You see, it wasn't a matter of the leper trying to play games with God and to come in and say, okay, Jesus, if you'll do this for me, here's some things I'll do for you. Or if you'll take care of my problem, I'll quit doing some things that I know you don't like me to do. He wasn't trying to manipulate his way into Jesus' favor. He just simply laid out the criteria for how God responds to prayer. If you're willing, you can do this. See, whenever we approach prayer, we have to come into it with that perspective. Remember who we're talking about? Remember that little video we looked at? The God who created all of these things and has all power and all authority and all the ability to do whatever he chooses. And we're praying to him and asking him for something, a favor. Or asking healing for someone, or asking for him to help our kids and what they're going through. Or we're simply crying out to him for some need. The bottom line of his response is, does what you're asking fit into what my will is? If so, then yes, I'm going to do that. Here's some of the things that says. God says yes when we're asking what fits his plans, when it agrees with his intentions, when it complements his will. See, otherwise you would think somebody like Paul would be able to get anything he prayed for. Lord, I'm so miserable. I'm so hot. Can you give me some fresh air in here? You know, cool this room down. Or God, I've got this pain. Lord, could you just get rid of that pain? Or God, it's such a long way to Ephesus. Could you just kind of get me there? Paul could have asked anything, because we look at Paul and say he was the top of the litter. He was the highest pick of those that God had. Surely Paul could ask anything of God and he'd do it for him just because it was Paul. No, look at this. Read this. Look in your Bible. I'm sorry. This has frustrated me to death. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Paul had been given that thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. We don't have it given to us. But here's what he says about it after asking God about this thing. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, Paul had asked God three times, take this away from me. Now, if I was God, yeah, I would have done that. Because I would have felt sorry for Paul and thought, man, you suffer enough as it is. Let me take those out. You're right. You shouldn't have those in the first place. But I'm not God. God saw something better than removing those thorns. He told Paul, if I leave those thorns in, you're going to experience a depth and understanding of who I am that you will miss if I take the thorns out. Which do you want? He didn't give him a choice, but that's what it came down to in his explanation. For me to be able to do in your life something incredible, you got to keep the thorns. You're going to have to suffer. But what you're going to learn is how great a God I really am. And so Paul basically says in that, I decided, hey, God, I'll keep the thorns. Because knowing something great about you is of greater importance than anything else. See, Paul accepted rather than challenged God's right to be God. Sometimes I have felt that when I have prayed and God did just the opposite. Have you ever prayed for somebody to get better and they got worse? That frustrates me. It's almost like, oh, I shouldn't have prayed. I should have stayed out of it because now they're worse than they were before I prayed. But no, I realize that what happens is we pray. And that prayer is subject to, I am willing, and when God is not willing, things go in a direction that I have no control over. And there have been moments where I have become angry. God, why did you do that? I am so embarrassed. I prayed for this, and it didn't happen. They were thinking that I really had some power here, and now look, they know I'm just a peon. I can't do anything. Or that I might lose confidence in God. Next time I want to pray, I say, oh, God, I want to ask you this, but, you know, you didn't do it the last time, so I don't know if you're going to do it this time either, so I'm kind of hesitant to ask. So I pray without any confidence in what God has done, or I become hopeless, or I doubt His love. Jan told me the story. Jody had called and told him this. A few weeks ago, our youngest son and his family, if you remember them being here to sing, and Jody played the cello. Oliver, little dude over here, they surprised the kids with a trip to Disney World. Didn't tell them till they showed up there on the way. They had them look in their car seats, pockets and find their tickets to get in. And so they had a fit, you know, we're going to Disney World. Well, they had gotten there, they were walking past Main Street, were coming up toward the big castle that's there, and Oliver turned to his daddy and said, Daddy, did you do this because you loved us? Of course he did. If we ever take that out of the context of prayer, out of the context of what God is doing, just because He has a different viewpoint, just because He has a different perspective, just because He has different intentions, we can never, ever think that He has stopped loving us, because everything He does is out of that. Loving us is something He never wants us to forget. Are we prone to say, God, you've made a mistake here. You shouldn't have done it that way. Or are we prone to say, because God, you didn't do what I asked, you failed me? Or are we challenging His goodness? Are we disputing His wisdom to know what's best? Or are we justified in our displeasure? Back in 1986, there was a film that came out with a very disturbing title for me, Children of a Lesser God. Story of a deaf school, struggles that went on within that. But characterizing those children who have some sense of inferiority in their life, that there must have been a lesser God that created them instead of the other God who doesn't make mistakes like that. But it leads us to believe that if God doesn't do what we've asked, He's being less than what He ought to be in our behalf. He's not treating us fairly. He doesn't really understand our hurts and our needs. He's too busy to really look at what's going on in our lives. Tonight we're going to have a prayer service. It's designed to basically give us perspective of God being in charge. It's not for us to tell God what to do and restrict Him to having the oversight that He does, to somehow submit Himself to our limited wisdom and our ultimate desires. We're going to be lifting these things up to basically say, God, we can't carry this anymore. And we want you to be involved in this. I met a guy at a writer's conference once named Randy Alcorn. I don't like his view on heaven, but I do like what he says right here. He said, we should pray for ourselves and our suffering loved ones, but not simply to pray away suffering. God, please heal this cancer is appropriate, but it is equally appropriate to pray, God, please use this cancer for your glory for as long as they have it. See, to realize that God may have some design for what we're going through that accomplishes a greater purpose than us getting rid of what we have. You know, in our mind, that you got it, you better get rid of it. You don't need it. It's bad. Get rid of it. God may say, wait a minute. I've got things that I am going to accomplish through that I can't accomplish in their life without them going through it. There it is. I couldn't find what page I'm on. I'm sorry. I'm just going to kind of read this. What if I have a disease that God will use to end my life on earth? What do I need? Not healing that takes away the disease, if that's God's intention, but healing that invigorates my faith. I will need you to pray for my endurance, my patience, my hope in tomorrow, my peace in the darkness. Courage for what I face and courage for my family to grieve in the hope of heaven. Relief from my pain and misery, defeat of my fears. Pray that I might see God working in my life even though death is working in my body. Pray that my love for Him will grow. Pray for the victory He will accomplish through my life that makes His name glorious. One of the ladies that is associated with our church, she's not able to attend, but she is in the final stages. The doctors have said, we're done. And I went to see her the other day, and we were talking about the prayer service. And she didn't think she could be here. And she didn't ask to be prayed over for the healing of this disease to be taken out of her body. She said, pray that we might have wisdom to make the right decisions through all of this. That's wise praying. That's basically saying, God, we're just going to seek you in whatever you choose to do in our behalf. We have some folks that pray every Monday here. We have a whole other team that prays here every Wednesday evening. And they pray because they believe God is listening. They pray because they believe God will do something in reference to what they pray. They believe that they can expect God's response to how they're praying. And they also believe that God is big enough to decide what He needs to do in response to what they're praying. They pray in faith. If I have any problems, I'm giving my problems to them to pray about because I know they have that perspective. When we come tonight, we're going to be praying in the same way. God, we're going to ask You, because You've given us the right to ask, to take this away. But we don't know if that's best. We're still going to ask because You've given us the right to ask. But we're also going to pray for other things that might help in the meantime in case You don't do that. You see, what it is it's backing up and say, God, You be God over all of these situations. You be the one in charge. You be the highest there is. You be the ultimate authority. We're going to lay this at Your feet and trust You'll do what's best in their behalf. And that's the best thing we can do for anybody, is to place them at the feet of Jesus. In all that's going on in our lives, for the lives of our loved ones, we have one constant that we can know for sure. Whatever God does, He does out of love. Look at your takeaways today. Number one, fortunately, God doesn't need our input to know what to do in any situation. Doesn't that take a load off your mind? God does not need our input to know what to do in any given situation. Number two, but He gives us permission to ask, believing. Not believing in what we ask, but believing in who He is to do what's best. See, faith is not a matter of saying, I believe what I'm saying is the right thing to say. Belief is knowing that the one I am saying it to makes the decision of what's best, not me. That's my relief from all of this. Number three, so, even though we may not know His intentions, we can still ask expectantly because we are trusting Him to do beyond what we ask. God has told us specifically that I'm able to do beyond what you think or ask, because I know things that you don't know and I have plans that you're not even aware of. So you just lay it at my feet and let me work. Let me accomplish my will in this situation. Don't judge me by what I do. Just simply release it to me and let me do my will. And then the last one. Then we trust Him with the outcome. You know, our job is to lay it out, place it at His feet, give it to Him. And then from that moment on, we trust. We know He's got it. We know He will do what's best. And we move on. Because we are praying to that kind of God. Right now, I want to ask something very hard for some of you, if you will. I know that not all of you are going to be able to come back tonight. If you would like to be prayed for this morning, at the end of this service, come down here to the front. And we're going to have some folks linger around and they're going to pray for you and over you. I don't want you to miss that opportunity today. Maybe there's something going on that you just need. You're here now. Let's pray for that before tonight ever gets here. All right? And number two, if you would have a decision you need to make before the Lord, write us a note about that. Put it in the offering plate. It's going to be passed in just a couple of minutes. And we'll get back with you. Visit with you and talk with you about those things that God's doing in your life. All right? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day and for a way to remind us of all that's going on, all that's been going on, and how You are intricately connected to all of that. Father, we have seen You at work in so many ways and so many situations to the point that we know what You can do. Father, we have no doubt of what You can do. So, Father, with confidence, we're able to ask you to do things that we know we can't, and then trust you with the outcome. And God, we have to have as a foundation that whatever you do, it'll be best because you love us. So, Lord, we thank you for that as a privilege. We don't have to carry the responsibility of the outcome of our prayers. We can leave all that with you. So, Father, thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.